For me, growing up, we didn't go to church, didn't do anything like that. We had a vacation Bible school teacher come through the area, and his name was Mr. Goodman. And that was the first time I ever went to church, and it was mostly fun and games, and that was about it. And growing up, a little older, I lived next to a pond, and every day I was in it. And as time went by, I ended up in the Air Force and spent 4 years there on the other side of the world, over in, I guess the furthest that way I went was Japan. And Guam, I was there for a while. Come back, and there was this woman that just stuck to me like glue. And we got married. And then some children started coming along. Chris right there, he was the first one. And we were down in Daytona Beach, Florida at that time. And then, but I wanted to get to the point that we were looking for answers, but only in one way. We had some Jehovah Witness come to our house. Jan grew up as a Baptist, and she made two professions of faith before the Jehovah Witness got to her. Neither one of them was a real one. And they were confusing her. They were telling her just the opposite. And so, first thing I hear is, "Help me, Mike. I'm just as lost can be. I know nothing about a Bible." And she wants me to help her to straighten things out. Well, I said, "Well, we're just going to have to start going to the church." And the very first church we went to was Brother Jones at his church. And he yelled and spit and sputtered and had a headache time we left the place. But he preached out of the Bible. We appreciated that anyway. And the next church we went to, and they didn't even use the Bible. There was a person on this side of the building, and then there was a person on that side of the building, and they were talking to each other. And that was their service. And I thought, well, I don't like that. And so, next Sunday, we went back to Brother Jones' church. Well, in the meantime, he came to my house, and at that time, I was a truck driver, a lot skinnier, a lot more muscle. Dressed up for me was a pair of blue jeans and a t-shirt. And I don't know if I had a can of beer in my hand. Yep, can of beer in one hand, a cigarette in the other, when he came to my house. And when he left my house, he said, "No man can save him." Well, he was right. But within a week's time or so, the Lord revealed to me that I was a sinner. Amen. And it was such a burden. It's such a trial. And Jan was saved about a week before I was. But we kept almost equally yoked through the whole marriage. It was a week off there for a while. But she was saved. She had a Baptist background. And Baptist by name mostly. But she knew a lot of things. You know, she believed there was a hell. There was a heaven. You know, being faithful to the church, this type of thing. But I didn't know a thing. And so everything I got was from Brother Jones. Well, I couldn't tell you what he preached in either time, but it must have stuck because the Lord took it home, and there was a scripture: "You must come to the Lord as a little child." I couldn't figure that out. And Jan simply said to me, "Well, as mama takes care of a baby, and she feeds that baby, and she carries that baby around, and does everything for that baby, that's the way you have to be with Jesus." Now, that sounds very simplistic, but at the time, that's exactly what I needed to know. And so, it was a point, and my sin wasn't getting any lighter. And I felt like that there was 1,000,000 pounds on my shoulders. I knew I was a sinner, and I knew for sure I was going to hell. And then, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, Sunday afternoon. I think it was the second Sunday of December 1973. I was right there at my bed asking the Lord, Lord, I need to be saved. Lord, I need this. I need that. Nothing. And then I gave up. I gave in. And I simply said, Lord, if there's any way for me to be saved, you're it. I believed in the death, burial, and resurrection. I knew what the gospel was all about, but I came to a place where I needed to know if it was for me or not. And finally, the Lord revealed Himself to me, and I knew that the only thing I could do is trust Him, depend on what He'd done for me. And praise the Lord. The Lord saved me. Amen. And that weight of sin just gone. I felt like I could fly at that time. Well, it didn't take long to come back down. I told my mother, oh, that's nice. She had no earthly clue what I was talking about. She was lost. And just to let you know the other part of it, from that time on, I talked to my mother as often as I could about the Lord. And first thing she said to me, well, where'd you ever sin at? My neighbors called me a troublemaker. And my mother says, where have you ever sinned at? Kids called me Leadfoot. I did donuts for about a quarter mile down a hill. I had to go from where you turn on Main Street in Horton all the way down to the curb. I didn't dare try to make it around the curb. Just having fun. But you know, the Lord started dealing with me. Of course, the first thing we did was we went back to that Baptist church and heard a preacher talk about baptism. Hey, I never even went to church 2 weeks before this. I mean, I never went to church. And now they're talking about coming to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. What is wrong with these people? But then the Lord burdened my heart to follow Him in baptism. And you know, I couldn't wait. It's the last day, or the next to last day of the year, we were baptized. Jan and I both. I got a step ahead of her, I think, if I remember right, at that time. I think I was baptized first. And you know what? We were baptized, and as I came out of the water, as He took me under and He brought me up, I thought, this is just the beginning. How true, I didn't know that at the time, but how true that was. And lo and behold, it wasn't a month or two later, and the Lord called me to preach. Now, we're talking about a guy that's barefoot, blue jeans, t-shirt, and all these things, and meanwhile, I threw a whole carton of cigarettes in the burn barrel, never smoked again. It was all God's grace. I quit 1,000 times before that. And cigarettes were gone. Anybody ever tells me, well, you don't know. I know. I was smoking 3-pack today. So before anybody gets on a high horse and say, preacher, you don't know anything about that. Yeah, I do. Remember, I did have that can of beer in my hand, too. Didn't bother me when the preacher came to visit, either. That's the kind of person I was. And he didn't know. He found out later. He didn't know that I'm the kind of guy who would have ushered him right out of the house. I'd have been kind about it. But that's the kind of person I was. And then the Lord placed it in His church. Then the Lord started calling me to preach. You're getting the very short version because we have a lot more here. In 3 months' time, I surrendered to preach. From the day I was saved. And my preacher, my pastor, when you surrender to preach, the next Sunday you're preaching. Here's a guy that doesn't even get out and talk in front of a crowd of people I know, let alone a bunch of people I really don't know yet. And so I went to preach, and I had 27 pages, I think. I preached for a whole 10 minutes, I think. And that was just a start. And then we learned, we grew, and we took over. Well, when I said, take over those responsibilities for the pastor, I know he's the kind of person who can't let go. I understand all that. I think Jenny's the same way. But I wouldn't let Brother Jones mow the lawn. I wouldn't let him clean the church. But Brother Jones, he's in there trying to paint or trying, I'll be right there beside him. He's just not going to do that alone. The Lord instilled that in me. And that made our plate full. I was driving trucks. I was fixing the church. I was mowing the lawn. Jan and I were doing lots of things. And the Lord called me to preach. And then first place I went was down at Brother Oakley's church. And I met a fella down there at that time. You might know him. His name was Junior Bourne. And he was so wise. That's before he was called to preach. He was a deacon. And he was so wise. He had so much knowledge. Of course, I still feel the same way today. I don't feel like I've gained any ground in between me and him. But then the Lord had me go from various place to various place and preaching. And in 1976, I came up here. I was a pastor at Frankfort. And very first, Frankfort was a proving ground for young preachers, it seemed. 3 years and you're gone. It seemed like Frankfort was that way. But we learned a lot from the people there. And I learned a little bit about pastoring there as well. We had a great time. I think when we first started, I think it was Ethel and Virgil and little kids. And one of them is sitting right back there, Barbie. She might have been 4 or 5 when we first went there. And Virgil was playing the guitar. And the great speckled bird, things like that. And I remember there's a lot of good things that happened there. I got to tell you the first thing when I first baptized somebody. Rosie? Right now it's a blank to me. Can't think of her last name. Willow. She's this tall. We went out to Lake Michigan on the north side of the pier right there in Frankfort. I'm nervous. Never baptized anybody anytime. There's no such thing as practicing baptism. And so here I am, the very first lady to baptize, and she's this tall, and I want to make sure there's enough water so she gets really immersed. You know what I mean? And next thing, and I'm thinking about this and what I'm going to be doing, and I'm thinking, I'm walking out. Next thing I know, she's about up to here, and we had to walk back towards the shore because it was too deep for her. Things you learn along the way. I'll never forget that. Chris was one of those people that were baptized in that same area. We had a lot of firsts up here. The snow. My. I want to talk about somebody I met along the way. Grandma Pace. Grandma Pace, I don't care when and how, but she would walk from home up to the church. Well, we'll be glad to come and get you. We're just down the road. Oh, no. You know how she did. And she'd walk. Foot of snow come down, she'd walk. And she was just that way. And she was quite a piano player. She hit a key here and then hit a key over here somewhere. But somehow, we could sing with it. I learned a lot. The Lord gets glory from our talents that we have, not from those that we don't have. And whatever the Lord gives us, He prospers us in that. And so we learn along the way. What a great blessing Frankfort was for us. We got to see the mortgage paid off, things like that. That was fun. We got to see that you learned about how a town that gets deserted in the wintertime. You have people everywhere in the summer, and then come wintertime, You can shoot a cannon off and nobody'd hear it. That's the way Frankfort was. And I want to tell you about one snow we had one time. In our back door, Barbie, I don't know if you remember that house where it's kind of down in the hole there. That's where we had a church members. They didn't have money. They bartered, so they brought wood and put it down in our basement for us, and we used wood to get through the winter in a furnace. And we had a snowstorm. Looked out the back door, and it had a full glass door, about like that there, only a screen door. Right at the very top was the edge of the snow. That's the back door. Unfortunately, the back door opened out. So we couldn't go out that way. And I opened the front door, and we didn't have a screen door on that, so the front door opens in. And so the snow's about this deep on this side of the house. And Chris and I walked to the church just in case somebody got stranded. And that was excitement for Chris, I'm sure. I'm muddling my way through snow, you know, almost up to my waist. And he's following me. I mean, he's just a little bitty guy at that time. Not like he is now. Now he'd be the one leading. I'd follow him. But we went up to the church. And, of course, nobody could go anywhere. But we went up there just in case. Turned the lights on. Things that you do. Went and visited nursing homes. And you think you're going to go there to be a blessing to the folks there, and you come to find out they become a blessing for you. And I want to tell you about a fellow we met along the way. I'm going to see him one of these days. His name was Mr. Chamard. This was down in Jackson. And he was crippled. And he had cry about his daughter. And families went on before him, and I'd talk about, well, up in heaven, we won't need walkers. We won't need glasses. And he just rejoiced in that, and he'd smile from ear to ear, and big old tears had come down his face, and, oh, I get a revival. I'll tell you about one other person while it crosses my mind. Went to visit somebody with Brother Jones. Maybe you've done this. I don't know, MS? Or something like that. The fellow looked like a pretzel. And he was probably half the weight he originally was. And there was a picture above him at his bed. You looked at him, you didn't even recognize him. But people who knew him before could recognize the picture. And we were going to go there to encourage him. There was nothing wrong with his mouth and talking. And he was witnessing to us and rejoicing with us. And he was so happy and he was praising God. And I thought within myself, how can this be? It was God's grace. So that day I learned a little bit about God's grace. And from that time, the Lord, about 3 years later, we left Frankfort. And we went down to a place called Willow Hill, Illinois. To best of my knowledge, there's not one hill there and there's not a willow tree there. But it's called Willow Hill. We went down there in the middle of winter, and I don't know how much, maybe that much ice on the road and snow, you know, back down. We went to the building there, and it was a big old white, old-fashioned church building. It had a bell tower and everything, and we went in, and they wanted me to come and preach for them. And we left that place. And Jan thought, we don't want to come here. It was so frigid, and you could see for miles and miles. Now, we were from Michigan. We're used to water, trees, you know, all the good stuff. And down there, all there was cornfields. And the farmers around there had oil wells as well, and they always joked about it. They had these big, huge tractors. They say they're going to continue to farm until the oil runs out. That's what kept them going. We went down there, and there's just a few folks there. And Casey, their bathroom was an outhouse. The first house we went into down there, church member let us stay there. This is nice. Down there, there's no such thing as a calm day in the wintertime. It's windy. And we put some curtains on the windows, and when the wind blew, the curtains went out like that. The hot water heater was upstairs in the attic with no insulation or anything up there. It was a real challenging time. And this church that didn't have indoor bathroom, it didn't have water or anything in there, you know. Maybe, I don't think they had a fountain even. Can't remember. But I had the idea, well, we ought to build onto the building here, and we can have some bathrooms in here, and we can have a conference here and all this kind of stuff. And, oh, no, we don't need a bathroom. We've used this for 152 years. We don't need a bathroom. Well, finally, the church, okay, Pastor, we'll build one bathroom. I said, you know, while we're building one bathroom, we could put two in just almost as cheap. And they relented. We had our first conference. And from that day on, they said, how did we ever do without an indoor bathroom? And sometimes two is not enough. So the Lord bless. He did it. I had a surprise one time there. It was kind of neat. I left the building on a Wednesday night. I noticed everybody's kind of standing around. And we left. You know, a lot of times they're fellowshipping and everything. This is good things. And we left. Come Sunday morning, we come walking in. Everybody's there. Now, this is a typical Baptist church. You know, 9:59, they're normally there. We normally get there at 9:30. Well, they were all there. That within itself was very suspicious. We walk in. Remember, this is a church that didn't have water, didn't have anything before. We walk in, and there was a finished baptistry behind the pulpit. They built it by hand. And they did all that. And that time we never knew a thing. We had some joys. We got to ring the church bell there. That was kind of neat. Got to love the people. That was very neat. And entertainment there. And I got to share it with you because entertainment was going up the auction barn. That was it. You didn't like that, you didn't do anything. And it was a place of fellowship. You'd have popcorn or maybe a Coke or something. And sometimes they had auctions there. Sometimes they just had a meeting there, whatever. And that was the place of entertainment. What a departure from Michigan. Well, I thought I really learned something, you know, and the Lord moved us on. We started a mission work while we were there. Brother Irving Cummings ended up at that mission work. Actually, kind of followed me along because when I was in Frankfurt, we had one at Mesick as well. He took that one. And Brother Colley started that work. But when we left Illinois, the Lord was still taking me through the School of Hard Knocks. And so we went from Illinois down to Tennessee. Now, when I grew up, my mother, her last school was Midland, Tennessee. And so growing up as a little kid, all I heard was a southern accent. And I can drift back down to that quite easily. Well, we went down there, and I think we lasted 70 days at that church. 70 days. And I won't go into all the details, but the Lord sure taught us a lot at that time. Not everything is as it seems to be. And the Lord moved us down a little further down the road. And we were there about 7 months. Now, think about what this is doing to your character. Think what this is going to do to the way you feel about things. Can this be? Can this happen twice in a row? What am I doing wrong? Well, found out that I was doing it right. The Lord had to reveal that. And He made me a missionary. And so we started mission work in a couple towns down there. Actually, we tried three towns. And we were there for a while. We got to see some folks. that come to join and everything. And we were there for about 3 years or so. I just didn't have a long tour anywhere, it seemed. But the Lord moved me to West Virginia. Let me say one comment so you know kind of what happened. When I first got to Tennessee, I went to visit the song leader, his mama. And I just walked in the door with him. She looked at me and says, either she said boy or son, "Son, you got a lot to learn." What I didn't know is what she knew about her son. And so when somebody tells you something like that, take heed. They might be telling you something. But let me go to West Virginia. We're talking little church works. Well, my schooling wasn't done yet. Went to West Virginia, and this church had 100 plus or so in attendance all the time. Oh, it had more than that. At least that in the membership or more. I can't remember what it was. This church had about $200,000 in the bank. Faithful. Doors open, they're there. What a fantastic church in that respect. And we got to learn a lot there too. They were so doctrinally sound, they put me to the task. And I had to be, and some of the words that they used, I never heard before. You know, and they'd talk about sacerdotalism and hyper-Calvinism. They would start to bring out some of these words and never even heard them before. And they were well versed in it. Well, I've come to find out down in that neck of the woods, there's some people, if a woman's not wearing a head covering, they disown you. If you're wearing one, they'll disown you. And down there, they believed in the priesthood of the church. And they believed in just all sorts of things. If you're not led to the Lord by a Baptist, you couldn't be saved. Well, I knew that was totally wrong. And we had some discussions. Learned a lot. And had to be able to talk with them, reason with them. What a growing experience. So in reality, when you look at your pastor and when you see a preacher come into a church work somewhere, you got to remember it's a two-way street. You might not know it, but you're going to be teaching that preacher some things. You're going to learn about what a human's really like. And then all the problems in the world. Fix it, Pastor. Pastor can't fix it. He can lead you to the one that can. And so we learned some things along the way. And we won't go into a lot at that church, but I want to take you to where we are now. We went from there back to Michigan because every time we visited, there was no place to go to church. And so I thought, well, I sure wish the Lord had sent a missionary up there. I thought that quite a bit, prayed about it, and sure enough, he did. He sent me. I left a full-time church. Next thing they were going to do for me is buy me a new car. And I left that church to no job. Went up there, and I wasn't there a day or two. We seen the church building that we're at. But yet, I had to find a home church. So I ended up in Wauseon. That was the closest one. And of course, we knew the pastor and knew the folks there. And so I was driving until the Lord settled me on what to do. I was driving back and forth, hour and 15 minutes, sometimes twice on Sunday, for a long time. Now, I couldn't have done that today with the gas prices. I don't think I can handle that at all. But we went up there, and I want to show you how the Lord works. We went up there, and we seen this building. Now, think about this. It was salmon pink. Salmon pink. Pink. Well, I was just looking at the shirts and sweaters here. More like Melissa's there. And not quite that, but It was very shocking for a building, let's put it that way. Ended up, you know, the Lord just kept burdening my heart, and He says, this is the place. I went to the person that owned it, and he was a Baptist, and it turned out he used to go there at church, and it was a Baptist church at one time, but it's long ceased to be a church for years and years. There was trees, you know, this tall in the yard. It had a sidewalk. I didn't even know it was there. The one that's there now. I didn't know it was there. Because it was so overgrown and everything, and all around the building, all the windows, the birds pretty well adopted the building. And here the Lord's saying, well, I should also say the bats. Yeah, lady over there. I knocked the board off of a 4x8 sheet off a window that they covered up, unbeknownst. On the back side of that, what I couldn't see, was about 30, 50, I don't know how many bats. And this board fell onto the ground outside. Well, it was cold. I won't go into details, but we didn't let one of them get away. She was out there with me. Brother Jones and members of the church came up, and we replaced windows. We had to clean up a mess. Vandals got in there and tore up the plumbing and this and that. But let me get back to the story here before. I went to the fella and I said, we'd like to rent your building so we can have a church work there. No, we're going to give that to the township. Okay, the township cemetery is right behind the building. And I said, okay. I prayed about it. In a week's time, I went back to him. I says, Mr. Sears, I feel the Lord would have me to have that building. I'd sure appreciate it if you'd pray about that. And it was a very short time later, he says, the building's yours. Didn't cost us a dime. We never paid a penny other than fixing it up, of course. Well, it needed a roof. And we had five, you know, the step boys, their dad. They all come up on a Saturday early. No, Friday night? Friday night. And by Saturday evening, they re-roofed the church, wood and all. The best experience I can say on that whole thing was I wasn't on the roof. But it had a tall chimney. Still does. And that was before we had a furnace. Well, they had a bright idea. Well, let's get Dad up there and let him see how the chimney is, so if we can use it or not. Maybe we have to mortar it up or something. All right, the next thing I see is Brother Step in the chimney, hanging by his sons, holding his feet. Now, that's pretty exciting, don't you think? How would you like to be in that chimney? You look like this. You know, you're hanging down, you look like this, and there's some bats. His feet started going. And his son started laughing. You know, they came up there. Wouldn't take a dime. They did all that effort and everything they'd done. We had the materials waiting on them. And that's all they took. Was a good meal, place to sleep, and they done it, and they were gone. Before we really got started, one family gave us a piano, another an organ. We still don't have an organ player or a piano player. Still don't. But we still have those instruments. They're sitting there waiting. The Lord provided. Amen. Meanwhile, Jan and I are it. We are the mission. And that's kind of nice. Because just me by myself, you know, well, first the Lord would be with me. Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that'd make four, wouldn't it? All right. But we had Roberta? Kathy was the first one. Kathy came, a friend of ours. And she ended up joining the church. And then we had another lady, Roberta. She joined the church. Jan had a brother that was agnostic, atheist. And you know what? The Lord saved him.
Amen.
And his wife was already saved, and we got to baptize them. Lo and behold, the son, which is, 30? He was saved and baptized. And his future wife, she was saved already, but then she was baptized. And the children. And that's just the way it's been going. And recently, we had a family come in, and now we got a song leader. And a family of three. And they're faithful as long as the sickness stays away. It seems like this year everybody's had something. And the Lord just blessed. Every time something come up, the Lord would provide. And the well went out. And Dick, who's my brother-in-law, he just fixed it. Had it fixed, you know, and that was done. Some experiences. They got me up on the roof. The low-level roof, by the way. There's a horrendous smell coming from our building. So we knew something must have got up there and died. There was a hole. Seemed quite small, but there was a hole. And what happened is a raccoon got up there. And about halfway into the roof, so we actually had to break a hole through the roof. And our song leader climbed down in it. Don't think of it. No one ever happened to you now. He went in it, and he almost passed out. He came out, you know, and holding his breath. And I won't go into what the raccoon looked like, but it was horrendous smell, even after it was in a plastic container. That's what you do in church work. You know, things happen. We've all had bats, birds, whatnot, mice, whatever, a problem. Water doesn't work. That's just part of church work. You're blessed. Would it be great to have a church in new parts? Or trying to fix a church and you don't know what kind of parts are in it? So that's kind of the things that we've been going through. I thought salvation was the beginning, and I was so right. And you know what? I'm still learning. Still growing today. I can learn from the oldest people and from the youngest. You see the amazement of a little child when they first see that hand, find that foot and put it in their mouth, you know, things like that. And then older, we do that all the time, don't we? Just a different way. Let me tell you about a missionary. These are just some of the things. Brother Imperial, a missionary, came into the area up down south. And he came into church with his family from Philippines. Manila? Would that be the capital? I think. And that's where he was from. He came in there. Nice family. Good preacher. Good sound preacher. And he was staying with Brother Cockrell at the time, and Brother Cockrell's house, they're very neat, clean, they have everything in its place. And their family, and I can't remember how many were with them at that time, but the husband, wife, and at least one child, and they all took baths. The only thing that Brother Cockrell had right out in the open was a washcloth. So they took a bath and they all dried off with a washcloth. Now, you take it for granted. You might have to look for a washcloth once in a while, or even a towel. But what they didn't know is they open up this cabinet, all there is towels and washcloths, and Sister Cockrell says, when you use something, just throw it in this hamper right here and get another one. See, they never had that. They never experienced that before. So you're going to meet some folks down the line that don't have what you have. I stayed with a lady one time. My wife and I did. An older lady. And she was very poor. Rich in spirit, but very poor. And the home, bathroom's the first thing I think of. The floor sunk down and there was an open space. In Kentucky, you know, all those little creatures and critters, and they had a full doorway right there to get in. But that's her home. That's what she had. She didn't have the money to fix it. And we went there, and she was very gracious. And we had some beans and maybe some cornbread. Very modest meal. And we were thankful. But she gave us the best she had. And we were in high cotton at that time. When somebody that has nothing and they give you their food, that's rich. And we asked the Lord to bless her, and we prayed with her and fellowshiped with her and everything. And you know what the Lord done? Brought a good Christian man into church, and she had a new husband. I kind of think maybe just open up her heart to one of God's children coming in. Lord blessed her especially. I'd like to think that anyway. Sounds good to me anyway. Well, we've had a lot of experiences like that. And the things that we've done. The Lord's always in it. You can see Him walking before us. And if the Lord calls you one day to preach, you guys, the Lord calls you, praise the Lord. Because He's a provider. He's a helper. If He calls you to sit in a pew in this same church for the next 90 years, I think the Lord will be back way, way before that. Praise the Lord. To be the best church member you can be. The things that you do in life, you're going to find out that your job, won't be so pleasant. In the ministry, I've had to do all kinds of things. Had one job, I felt like a slave. Felt like Joseph. And they were millionaires, and I mowed for them, and I cleaned their pool for them, and I done this and done that, and Michael do this and Michael do that, and so on and so forth. And well, come to find out that they did some illegal things, and one of them killed themselves, one of them tried to kill themselves, and the administrator came in and took over everything that they had. And You know, Michael, he ended up being the one in charge of everything because he was the only one that knew where anything was. So I went from the one that was doing everything to the one that was driving a little yellow Jeep around and letting them. That's just how the Lord works. And I had about 2 years of work just doing that. That was pretty nice. I even could take the truck home and plow my own drive out if I wanted to. That's how the Lord works. Sometimes you might not see the biggest bank account there is, but you'll have the biggest blessings you could possibly find. And just simply following the Lord. That's the problem we get into. Sometimes we don't follow the Lord. We try to do it on our own. But there's lots of experiences. But the Lord saved me, saved my wife. My prodigal son came back. Life's good. Life's good. All right, we'll leave it at that.